from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was thinking about something yesterday as I look back over the long Labor Day weekend, and I came to a conclusion about something. By the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. An honor to have you with us today. So settle in for 3 hours of great conservative conversation. Might even throw in a few laughs along the way. We're going to have a great time this afternoon. But I was looking back over the long weekend. Of course, college football back in gear. And here in Memphis, Tennessee, the University of Memphis Tigers had a huge turnout. We're talking about tens of thousands of people turning out at the Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium or there in Memphis. University of Tennessee Knoxville, a sea of orange, and it was the same at football stadiums all over America. I mean, tens of thousands of people were gathered together. Nobody was wearing a face mask. Everybody was shoulder to shoulder, behind to behind, having a good time, living their lives. And I thought about something that Jim Jordan said yesterday, and this really sparked the conversation to kick off today's program. When Congressman Jim Jordan, the great Republican leader from Ohio, member of the House Freedom Caucus, Jim Jordan told America yesterday that real Americans are done with the pandemic. Real Americans are done. We're ready to go back to our lives. We're ready to get back to normal. We are moving on. And I'm wondering how you feel about that. Have you reached a point in your life, has your family reached a point where you've said, you know what, look, we've been going through this almost, 2 years, and enough is enough, we're done. This is not going to be some sort of a perpetual pandemic for us, for me and my house. And I think a lot of people, when they went out to those football games, it's subconsciously, it's not as if many of us went out to these games thinking I'm going to make some sort of a political statement. But I think many of us subconsciously went out to these football games, went out to the tailgate parties, ate the hot dogs and the hamburgers, drank the adult libations. And we said to ourselves, we're not going to take it anymore. This is it. This is our Lollapalooza. This is our BLM protest march. We're going to live our lives again. And I think there's something to that. But I got to tell you, there's some crazy stuff happening in this country right now. And I was reading just moments before we came onto the broadcast. Someone sent me a note about an Epoch Times exclusive regarding the National Football League. And they had invited a Grammy Award-winning musical artist, Victory Boyd, to sing the national anthem. She sang it on Kanye West, the religious album that Kanye West did, and that, I think that's where she picked up the Grammy. A beautiful voice. Here, I think we've got a clip of her actually singing the national anthem. Let's take a listen.
By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars,
what a beautiful voice,
through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, their bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave
Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. Victory Boyd. And, you know, we can get into national anthem renditions maybe at another time. But I love that. It was very simple, beautiful. She's a guitarist as well, a very well-trained musician, a beautiful woman, and this incredible voice. And she had been invited by the National Football League to perform the national anthem at the season opening game in Tampa Bay, which I believe is tomorrow night, the 9th, I believe. And she was, of course, very excited. There is a $20,000 paycheck involved in all of this. So it's a big deal. It's a big payday. Well, it also turns out that Miss Boyd is an evangelical Christian. She is a follower of Christ, and she has a problem with the China virus vaccine. Now, look, here's her philosophy on the China virus vaccine. And Grace, when I share this with you, I want to ask you a question. Does this remind you of anyone? She says that if you're going to get the vaccine, that is a decision that you yourself need to make. It's a decision you need to make with your doctor and also with God. Who does that sound like?
That weirdly sounds like, well, it sounds like you, Todd.
It sounds like me. That's right, the host of this radio program. So Ms. Boyd believes, hey, look, I believe that the body is a temple. She believes the body is sacred. And she believes that as Christians, we should respect our bodies and what we put into our bodies. And so as a result of her religious beliefs, she is not prepared to get the vaccine. And her explanation was very simple. If you are a person of religious faith, you will understand her explanation. She said that as of yet, the Holy Spirit has not directed her to get the vaccine. If you are a Christian, you know exactly what that means. For those of you who are not Christians, it is that small voice inside of you that guides you through life. That is, in our estimation, the Holy Spirit. I don't want to get into a theological discussion here. But she said that God hasn't told her to get the vaccine yet. And that's good enough for me. But it's not good enough for the National Football League. And so the NFL, when they found out she had not been vaccinated, they told her that she would not be allowed to perform the national anthem. She got fired for not having a vaccine. By the way, this is not the Superdome. No, this is an open air stadium. The woman's going to be out there on a massive football field by herself, a microphone and a guitar, and she's going to be singing the national anthem in an open air stadium. So I want the NFL to explain to me how this is some sort of a health crisis. Now, Miss Boyd has been very gracious through all of this. And I want to read to you what she wrote, because this is something for all of us to consider. She says, if I want to take the vaccine, the decision will be between myself, my doctor, and my God. At this point, the Spirit of God is leading me to stand for freedom of choice. Well, that's an interesting concept. Throughout my life, I have overcome many obstacles, but now I was faced with a new glass ceiling that I could not break through. I feel like we're going backwards to a familiar place that I thought we had overcome as a country. To be disqualified because of a discriminatory policy that had nothing to do with my talent made me feel alarmed because of what it implies for not only myself, but millions of others. Now, you may be saying, what is she talking about? Miss Boyd is African American. And she's talking about living in a society where there is a new form of segregation. There is a new form of discrimination. And it doesn't involve the color of your skin. It's whether or not you've been jabbed in the arm. And she's absolutely right to say that those people are now being segregated because of not because of the oppressor and the oppressed. It's because of the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. And this is where we are. Look, a couple of weeks ago, a Broadway star was fired from a job because she did not have the vaccine. Do you see where all of this is going, folks? But again, I think the average American has said, that's it, we're done. Grace Baker, I have been to so many places around Memphis over the past couple of days. Just yesterday, and we'll talk about this later, I was down at the county fair. I had to judge a competition, and nobody was wearing a face mask. Everybody is, and we're under a mandatory face mask policy here in this county, but nobody's following it.
No, most places I go into, I don't wear one and nobody says a word to me. And it's like half and half. Some of the people are wearing them, some aren't. They don't say a word or look at me.
I literally go in, do my business, and I'm in and out. That's
yep,
it. And you know what? So is everybody else. And they've had it. And I'm curious to know, ladies and gentlemen, the great listeners of this audience from border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain, have you decided it's over? We're going back to life as normal. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Our website, toddstarns.com. Lots of great information for you to check out there. We'll be right back, America.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Yeah, I think everybody's done here. You know what? We've got the new, there's a new strain, a new variant. What are they calling it? The Mew? M-U? What a terrible name. So you have, I don't know what happened to the music. Sorry about that, folks. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dan Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Todd. Good to hear you.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I moved from California, Silicon Valley, out here to North Carolina because there's more common sense out here than there is in the whole Bay Area. Those people are, they're just crazy. But this whole thing is only a precursor to how far can the government push us. And I think it was all a test run. How far can we make these people bow before we take them over?
So, you know, I'm with you, Dan, and look, this all plays, and people need to understand that the big picture here is socialism. How do we fundamentally transform this nation? That's what Barack Hussein Obama said back in 2007. How do we do that? And this is the way. And it's just like throwing that frog in the pot of water and slowly turning up the heat. By the time the frog figures out what's going on, it's supper time.
I have been to Russia a number of times, and one time I came back, and it was one of those times that Obama was talking about government control on your thermostat. And I went, oh, I know what that looks like. That's what Russia does. It was like I was in a hotel, and it was supposed to be October, nice weather, and all of a sudden they had a freeze, but you couldn't get any heat on because the government wouldn't put the heat on. And I went, wait a minute, Obama's talking about the same kind of stuff. Yeah, it's all a precursor.
No, I think you're on to something there, and that's why we've got to pay attention here, and we've got to defy these rules. Kids walking out of class on the mask mandates, yep. I'm all for it. I think we've got to protest every single day, get to the school board meetings, get to the city council meetings, get to the health department. We've got to get those picket lines up And we've got to let people know we're not going to tolerate it.
I agree with you.
All right. Hey, great call. Thanks for listening. And folks, listen up in Statesville. We are planning a book event in your town. So be sure to listen to WSIC. We're going to be letting you know about that. You folks in Morehead City, North Carolina, we're coming over to your town as well. So we'll be posting details momentarily. All right. Speaking of California, let's go to Lee hanging out with us on our live stream today from California. Hey, Lee, what's on your mind?
Hey, hi. How are you, Todd?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, you are very welcome. Well, I'm out in California, and I'm in a position where I would love some prayer because I will most likely lose my job because I cannot take any of the existing vaccines. I am allergic to ingredients in them, plus I have some other physical issues that could makes it either that I am very seriously injured or damaged by it or could be even die from it. And there is now no exceptions. I did reply.
Now, Lee, let me stop you here for a moment. What sort of work are you in?
I am working remotely, of all crazy things, but I'm working for a health industry type of vendor. And I, you know, have requested the opportunity to work remotely, as well as requested the opportunity to wait for a more safe vaccine, particularly the Novavax I'd like to do, and they've denied my request. So I have until September 30th to get these vaccines or I could lose my job.
Now, Lee, have you presented any sort of evidence to them saying, hey, look, I have a medical condition. Here's a note from the doctor. I have a religious exemption. Here's a note from my pastor.
I did not operate on the religious exemption because I don't think they would even pay any attention to that unless I was probably of another religion. But from a medical, I did. But I, you know, I have my doctor is alternative, and, you know.
What does that mean?
I'm assuming that that means, you know, that they're not going to listen to what this doctor says.
Oh, I've never heard of an alternative doctor before. That's a very peculiar term.
It's naturopath.
Okay, gotcha. All right, I see. Well, Lee, I'm sorry to hear this, and you are not alone. There are many people around the country that are facing this very issue. And, you know, my recommendation is to get lawyered up because I don't believe, and I know there's a case out of New Mexico now where they've had to reverse a mandatory vaccine policy for city workers because it was illegal. So, the problem, though, with the private business is they do have the right to set rules and regulations. So I would consult with an attorney, Lee, and let's see what you can find out. Lee, good luck to you. Let's go to another Lee, this one in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Lee, what's going on?
Hey, I want to answer your question, and I want you to do some homework for me.
Homework? All right. What you got?
Okay, you remember, Todd, when this thing first happened, you know, the numbers was going up and up and up and up dealing with COVID-19. Why is it that this 600,000 is still where it's at when we got a more deadly virus, they say, that's out? That's the first thing I don't understand. I'm talking about death. I'm not talking about people getting tested or all that systematic.
You're talking about people dying.
Right. People dying. Why is that number is just hovering around 2,000 maybe on the 6,000?
You see.
Or maybe 5,000 added on to the 6,000.
Lee, you're a smart man. You're a smart man. You're getting it. And these are the questions we need to be asking, Lee. The reason why the numbers aren't going up is because fewer people are actually dying from the virus. And I will say, even the numbers that are out there, I question, only because they're counting everything as China virus these days. Everything. Hey, folks, I got to take a break. Lee, great call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Is the pandemic over, America? By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again.
Mike Lindell, introducing his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these incredible slippers designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Your feet will sleep. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you're going to want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Set. Or just call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506, promo code STARNS.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I'm going to go ahead and warn you, and Grace, I know you already know this. I'm in a mood today, and it's a weird kind of mood. I don't know why.
Keep my eye on you.
I was singing a love song during the break. I don't know what was wrong.
I've got questions.
Me. Yeah, I'm not sure I have answers, but we're going to work through it together. So I've asked
Is there
you
something you need to tell us?
No, no. And seriously, I don't think so.
Okay.
But you never know. So, well, I don't know. It's weird. All right. Welcome back to the show. Speaking of weird, I got a text message right as we were starting the show. Our good friend, Jeff Katz, who is the number one talk show host in all of the Commonwealth of Virginia. He hosts a terrific program on our affiliate, WRVA. He said, Starnes, you're not going to believe this, but they're literally cutting Robert E. Lee in half. So I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Jeff Katz joins us. Jeff, what is going on there in Virginia?
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Starnes. It is a bizarre sort of a day. We have a failed mayor and a failed governor who have decided, let's beat up on a bunch of statues that are on Monument Avenue. And earlier today, after, I guess a 13, 14-month court fight, Governor Northam was out there, and he fired up the cranes, and a couple of cranes lifted General Lee and his horse off the pedestal. And about an hour or so later, they cut him basically in half. They cut the body of Robert E. Lee from the body of the horse. They claimed it was necessary to transport the statue to an undisclosed location. It's a little bit like the Bizarro World today.
So, I mean, this, and if you've been to Richmond, one of the beautiful things about that city are all the monuments. And so you're telling me that the giant Robert E. Lee statue with him on the horse now gone.
It is gone. And in fact, all of the monuments along Monument Avenue have been removed. So all that's left, and the next time you come to town, we'll take a ride down Monument Avenue. You're not going to believe it. It's all of the pedestals, and they've all been defaced with obscene, profane, bigoted, racist, violent graffiti. And those are staying in place. But the monuments themselves have been removed. All of the city-owned monuments were removed a number of months ago. They're at a wastewater treatment facility. And
what?
Yes, sir. And you have to understand something. Our mayor here, Todd, is overseeing a city that has seen in the last year a 40% increase in the murder rate. It has seen tourism evaporate because all the statues are gone now. And the Richmond Police Department is hemorrhaging officers. Officers are leaving at an amazing clip. And all the focus, though, has been on these statues as if that somehow is going to save the city from itself.
You know, Jeff, I mean, I'm hearing you describe all of these problems that Richmond, Virginia is now facing, and I'm thinking to myself, these are the exact sorts of problems that Memphis, Tennessee is going through. And, of course, we just wrapped up the cultural cleansing. I call it a culture jihad of the Confederate statues and monuments here. But we have one up on you guys because our woke leaders actually dug up the dead body of Nathan Bedford Forrest and had it removed from its resting place.
Well, I don't want to play the, you know, the dozens here, but that is the debate right now, because one monument, the monument itself is, of course, headed for the wastewater treatment facility. But there is someone who is interred under it, and they're trying to figure out what to do. Do they dig his body up and relocate him? I mean, this is it's terrifying. It's just this complete and total erasure. I mean, it's a little bit like when the Taliban took over in Afghanistan the first time, you know, before Joe Biden helped them out. And they went around destroying all the statues and all the paintings and said, hey, history starts when we took over. So it's frightening.
And Jeff, I wrote about this in a book that came out in 2019 called Culture Jihad. And yes, sir. Again, I'm with you. I was watching a 60 Minutes documentary. And when the Taliban, when the Islamic radicals would invade a nation, that's immediately what they would do. They would target the cultural centers, and they would literally turn that nation's history into a pile of rubble. And yes. And from my vantage point, that's what they're doing. I'm curious to know, what are the people there in Richmond? What are your listeners telling you?
Well, I'm going to tell you something that's very interesting. There was a poll that was conducted by Christopher Newport University. It's not a, you know, it's not some grand conservative college. It is a Virginia public institution. And that indicated what we all knew, that most people in Virginia thought that the monuments should stay throughout the Commonwealth, because they're being removed everywhere, but they should stay because there were great conversations. I can't tell you how many times, Todd, I took somebody for a drive up and down Monument Avenue, and you know, it would all start the same way. I'd hear them tell a joke about our second place trophies, and I would laugh politely, like it was the first time I'd ever heard that. But invariably we'd say, oh, well, who was this guy, and who is this guy, and why was this guy important? And then there was a discussion about what happened on this North American continent between 1861 and 1865, and it was wonderful. And that is all gone now, and I'm fearful that if people are not able to remember history, we've heard this before, if they can't remember history, then they are doomed to repeat it. And how do we make sure that human beings don't think it's okay to own other human beings as property? I think most of us agree that's abhorrent, it's horrible, but can we now say, but look, it did happen, and we need to be on guard against it? Now all of this is gone. Every conversation now is going to be limited to these terrible, hateful slogans that are on the pedestals.
No, you're right about that, Jeff. And again, this is something that we, I think, in the talk radio world, I think we're the only folks willing to have a genuine conversation and open up, you know, our phone lines to talk about this.
Yes.
But at what point, where do you draw the line? Because I suspect, and we've certainly seen them go after, you know, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, but it seems to me that the ultimate goal is to delegitimize our founding documents. And of course, National Archives, just yesterday, word came out that they've actually posted a warning label on the U.S. Constitution.
Well, it is an absolutely appalling thing. And for anybody who thought it was limited to Confederate statues, take a look in the city of Columbus, Ohio. Of course, they removed the statue of Christopher Columbus. In my old stomping grounds, Boston, Massachusetts, they removed a statue of Abraham Lincoln. It just seems as if there is no end to this. It is a rewriting of everything that's happened. And as you point out, if you're going to warn people about the Constitution, good gosh, man, we're in a world of hurt, and I don't know where we go.
All right. Well, Jeff, look, we appreciate you coming on the program. I have to imagine you're not going to have to worry about telephone calls today from listeners.
This was one of those days I probably should have slept a little bit late. Maybe I could work a late afternoon nap in before showtime.
That's it. All right, Jeff, good stuff, man. And we appreciate the great work you're doing. And we love all of our new listeners on WRVA.
And we love having Todd Starnes as part of our lineup at News Radio WRVA. Thank you so much, Todd.
All right, good man right there, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff Katz, WRVA. We've known each other for years and does a terrific job getting the truth out there. They truly are the conservative blowtorch of the Commonwealth. So, folks, there you go. And I think the point Jeff made, and if you heard the last bit of that conversation, he was talking about Columbus, Ohio, where Christopher Columbus himself, the statue's coming down. This is happening all over America. And my question to you is, where do you draw the line? Do you support the statues coming down? Should they come down? Should we preserve our history? What say you, America? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Listen up, patriots. One of the most radical plans to reshape the future of America is happening right now, and we need to stop it. President Biden's plan to pack the U.S. Supreme Court. Back in April, the president launched a special judicial commission to reform the court, but the real plan is to install four more liberal justices to gain an automatic majority and ensure favorable rulings for his radical policies. And once the court is packed, it will end the rule of law as we know it, which is exactly what happened in Venezuela and Argentina. Let's be clear. America is not a banana republic. Thankfully, First Liberty Institute is taking a stand. They've issued a letter to the commission asking them to reject this radical court-packing scheme, and they're not alone. Franklin Graham, Ed Meese, James Dobson, Tony Perkins, plus 60,000 others have joined their coalition. But we need 1 million, so add your name now. Go to SupremeCoup.com to sign First Liberty's letter. That's SupremeCoup.com. God bless America. Grace, let's dance.
I don't know if you paid me to know that.
No, come on. This is a great song.
It is a good song.
It's a good song.
Each night I pray.
Where's Tracy? You know what? Let's bring Tracy in. She's listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Tracy, how are you?
Hey, Todd. Hope you're doing well today.
Tracy, you like this song? Could it be I'm Falling in Love?
I do like that song. Kind of takes me back.
Oh, hold on, Tracy. Hold on. We all got this. Grace, turn your mic on. Here we go. Could it be I'm falling in love? Sing, America.
I don't want to sing that.
Okay.
I'll let you sing.
All right. That didn't go as well as I thought, ladies. Tracy, you never know what's going to happen on the program. All right, Tracy, WDU in Georgia. I know you want to weigh in on what's happening here with this history. They're tearing down our history, Tracy.
They are taking it away. You know, there's already things they aren't teaching in schools now, and they're taking down all these statues trying to just erase our history. And right or wrong, it is what it is. And so when they take all these things away and the kids these days aren't going to, you know, to be able to question, what is that? What was that all about? Because they're sure not learning it in the schools. You know, they've tried it with Stone Mountain here in Georgia. And that's, you know, it's an awesome monument that we check out, and they're wanting to take it away, too. I don't think it'll ever pass, but they've certainly tried.
Tracy, that is a great point, and I forgot about that. There were literally people wanting to dynamite the side of Stone Mountain where you had, what, Robert E. Lee. There's Robert E. Lee, Jefferson Davis, and Stonewall Jackson. Is there somebody else?
Seems to me like there's four.
I think there are four.
Remember.
Yeah. Yeah. But they wanted to literally dynamite those images off the side of the mountain. And they're serious about it. I mean, look, they dug up a dead body in Memphis, Tennessee. So anything goes with these people. Oh, I think we lost Tracy. But Tracy, thank you for calling in, and thanks for dancing with us on the radio. We got to do more of that. We need more dancing on the radio, Grace Baker. That's the problem with talk radio. Everybody's screaming.
I was going to say more dancing, less yelling, please.
I like that. I like that.
Maybe less singing, though.
Yeah, I'm not a good singer.
Please don't sing.
I don't have a good singing voice.
Now just let the music speak
for itself. The music speak for itself. Hey, so seriously, though, what we're dealing with, these people who want to tear down the statues, they want to tear down the monuments, they want to turn our society, our history into rubble, these people are American Taliban. That's what these people are. 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Florida. Keith. All right, Keith, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, you hear me all right?
You're coming in loud and clear, my friend.
You know, I've gotten to the point on the statues that's been going on. You know, if you're not like a state like Florida or Alabama, I think Mississippi has laws that protect the statues and stuff. If the beast has gotten so big, it's so hard keeping up with federal, state, and our local, especially our power is local, that, you know, if their state is so woke that they're going to tear down the statues, you know, I don't know. If they don't stand up in their own state, it's getting to where we have to really pay attention to our own states, especially here in the South getting invaded. But in my opinion, you know what this first statue that was vandalized in modern history since the 60s?
You know, you stumped me there, Keith. What is it?
It is the Lady Justice blindfold coming off when Martin Luther King got assassinated and Jesse Jackson claimed that he was holding his body. And he wasn't, rubbed blood from him, put it on his
Okay, shirt. We're done with you. Yeah, we're done, Keith. Goodbye. 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 I don't know what that was all about, folks. My apologies. But the fact of the matter, and it does now stand, that we are living in the midst of a culture jihad in this country. What does that mean for the rest of us? Well, it means that our history is being erased before our very eyes. And when that history is erased, you're going to have a clean slate. And what's going to happen? And you mark my words here. And this is already, you can already sort of see the machinations of this already happening, where you are turning a demographic of society. And here on this program, we don't mince words. And by demographic, I mean there right now, there's an effort underway to convince white Americans that they are evil, that God made a mistake when he created white people. They're making little boys and girls, we're talking 4, 5, 6-year-old kids in grade school and preschool, think there's something wrong with them because of the color of their skin. That's what critical race theory is all about. So they're literally wanting to go through the civil rights era again, but they're doing it by again, attacking white people and making white people think they're the problem. I personally think this is one of the most heinous crimes in America. The idea of pitting people against each other because of the color of their skin. You know, here on this program, we believe all men are created equal. Every single person, the white man, the black man, brown man, doesn't matter. We're all created equal under the eyes of Almighty God. But there are a lot of people that do not believe that. So we're going to keep exposing this stuff. It's a sad day in Richmond, Virginia. And I didn't want to tell Jeff Katz this to his face, but they're not going to be calling that Monument Avenue anymore. It'll probably be Al Sharpton Boulevard or something like that. All right, we've got a great next hour coming up. Our good friend Steve Cortez from Newsmax TV going to weigh in on the latest from Afghanistan. And Barack Hussein Obama, guess what he did, folks? Up the wazoo of America. That's exactly what he did, and we're going to get into that story. Also, a new study shows men are not going to college. This is a very serious issue. But we need to talk about why men are no longer going to college. I think this is part of the overall war on men and masculinity. We're going to get into that with a friend from the Family Research Council. Also, University of Kansas, the Student Senate now chanting "Death to America" on Twitter. We're going to talk to some angry state representatives about that. Unbelievable. Plus your calls, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again. Mike Lindell, introducing his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these incredible slippers designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Your feet will sleep. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you're going to want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Or just call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506, promo code STARNS.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Big Show. Good to have you with us today. And during the commercial break, I posted an item on the Twitter page, Grace Baker, asking our great listeners what Virginia Democrats have in common with the Taliban. And the answer, of course, is they love to tear down statues and turn history into rubble. That's not going over well. I think I may have triggered a few folks.
I was going to say, are you trying to get
just
banned today, Todd?
I think we're going to get more death threats today.
Probably.
All right. Well, anyway, there you go. You feel free to respond, and you can check out the it's kind of like feeding time at the zoo with the monkeys. Whenever I post something on Twitter, people go bonkers. The left goes nuts. So, look, there is an interesting piece in Politico. Politico now reporting that every time Joe Biden goes out to speak before a microphone, White House staffers literally turn off their TVs and go into hiding because they have such anxiety over what is going to come out of that man's mouth. Yesterday, Biden was out visiting some of the areas hit hard by the remnants of Hurricane Ida. And by the way, the folks in New Jersey were heckling the guy. I mean, just wow. They were not rolling out the red carpet, I'll tell you that much. And we can't play a lot of it because it's a little profane, but it's very entertaining. But anyway, Joe Biden wanted to weigh in on tornadoes. Let's take a listen to that soundbite.
You know, the looks like a tornado. They don't call them that anymore. That hit the crops and wetlands in the middle of the country. In Iowa, in Nevada, and I mean, it's just across the board.
And let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Steve Cortez from Newsmax TV. So, Steve, a lot of news dropping in that soundbite. There's no such thing as a tornado anymore. Nevada got moved to the heartland, and apparently there are wetlands in the Nevada desert. Who knew?
A lot of news there, Todd. By the way, when did tornadoes get canceled? Like, when did that word get canceled? Because as far as I know, Todd, they're still called tornadoes. So I have no idea.
Yes.
You know, I have no idea what Joe Biden was speaking about there. But to the point of geography, too, listen, you know, you could excuse a lot of gaffes. And all of us, you and I, people who speak into a microphone for a living, occasionally we say dumb things. Okay, that's just the reality of, you know, if you speak enough, you're going to flub something. But with this guy, with Joe Biden, it is so continual. It is so incessant, okay, that this is not a, you know, it's not a flub. It is a trend. It's evidence, I believe, of somebody who's mentally not there. And I'm not saying that, by the way, to be cruel to him, because as much as I despise Joe Biden, okay, and I think he has been an absolute corrupt Washington sewer monster for a half century, okay, so don't think that I'm by any means getting soft on him. But I will say this. His lack of cognitive ability right now is not his fault. It truly is not. Okay. And all of us, I'm sure, know somebody in our lives, family members, somebody who is going through this. He's clearly going through this. Okay. Not his fault. But it also doesn't mean that the American people should have to deal with it, right? A man who is supposed to be the commander in chief of the United States, who literally thinks that Nevada is in the Midwest, right? That would be news to Nevada, and thinks the crops are being damaged in Nevada. Now, Nevada's got a lot going on in it, you know, vibrant economy. One of the things it does not have going on, Todd, is farmland, or I mean, in any consequential way, right? I mean, that would sure be news to Nevadans that there are wetlands and that crops are being damaged. They'd be like, wait a second, we're about tourism and mining and, you know, right, a lot of other important aerospace, important businesses, but crops, not really one of them. And this is the guy, though, unfortunately, you know, I know we kind of laugh about it, because sometimes if you couldn't laugh, you'd cry, Todd. There, you know, there's a very not funny aspect to this. And that is, particularly after what happened in Afghanistan, the just disastrous botched withdrawal, we have serious enemies abroad, China most of all, who I believe are looking at this weak American commander-in-chief and saying, this is our opportunity. This is our time to move in various ways, whether it's on Taiwan or other aspects, you know, other ways to harm American security. So it's a perilous moment right now. And it's a time for us to steel our resolve to fix this, to fix it in 2022 and 2024 elections.
Right. Well, look, I mean, this is part of a much broader issue, and we expect our president, the commander in chief, to be a leader. He is leader of the free world. And the issue here, Steve, is we don't know who is calling the shots. There's no way this guy is calling the shots. And, you know, there's right. a lot of speculation as to who that is. But you're right. Our, you know, from a foreign policy perspective, our enemies see this and they sense and they can smell weakness, especially the Taliban. And now we're dealing with God knows how many Americans still trapped over there.
Right. No, listen, and here's the thing. Listen, and as far as who's calling the shots, it's an important question. I believe it's Barack Obama. I think this is his third term. I think it's very telling that he literally did not leave Washington, D.C. He's the first president in a century to not move out of Washington when he was out of office. The last one was Woodrow Wilson, who was just about as terrible a president as Barack Obama. But he moved, you know, a mile or two away from the White House, I think, for important reasons. And he, by the way, this isn't just pure supposition by me. He himself has acknowledged, he didn't quite say it's his third term, but he said, look at all the staffers from my White House that are in there. I mean, he basically acknowledged it without, you know, explicitly saying it, that this is his third term. So I think he is largely calling the shots, a lot of it going through Susan Rice on the White House staff and many other staffers, of course, from his administration. But here's the thing. He's able to be even more radical than he was in his own White House. And here's the reason. He knew that he had to face reelection. He largely had a Republican Congress also to deal with, right? That is not the case now. Joe Biden, nobody believes is right for reelection. Nobody believes he can even finish his term, much less, you know, run again. He also has a totally complicit Congress on Capitol Hill. So I think what Obama is able to do now, which he couldn't do in his own term, is enact a far more radical agenda than Obama ever dreamed of when he was in the Oval Office, now that he has this puppet of Joe Biden, his former vice president, in the Oval Office, who, by the way, I believe was not legitimately elected in the first place. You know, there's a phrase that elections have consequences. Well, stolen elections have disastrous consequences. And just to put a number on that, by the way, to let you know, I'm not the only one. I'm not the crazy one who believes that. We got brand new polling out today from Economist and YouGov. They come out every week. And within that polling, it shows that among Republicans, 81% of Republicans now do not believe that Joe Biden legitimately won the 2020 vote. And among independents, 42% of independents do not believe that Joe Biden legitimately won. So I think we have a president who doesn't even belong there in the first place, but is doing enormous damage to this country, unfortunately.
And Steve, the problem and the question is, what is the Republican Party going to do about that? How are they going to deal with that? Because there is a large chunk of Republican leadership, and of course all the rhinos, but leadership that might be more inclined to support Trump that want to move on. As a matter of fact, I was at the Alabama rally. I was one of the speakers. I was in the very front of the audience when Congressman Mo Brooks, told the crowd it was time to move on, to move forward. Right. And he was nearly booed and heckled off of that stage. And he's as conservative as they come. So, Steve, how do you think they're going to address this? How are they going to deal with this? They cannot move on. They've got to address this.
No, Todd, you know, we're not getting over it, okay? We're not, right? You know, that's sort of a phrase, right? Like, well, get over it. We're not getting over it, right? Because We can't live with that in our republic. And you're so right. I'm glad you brought that up. I had Mo Brooks on my show, and I love Mo Brooks, okay? I think he's a fantastic congressman. I think he'd be a good senator. But you're exactly right. Mo Brooks, for all of his MAGA credentials, right, that was in, you know, his hometown, right, near Huntsville, Alabama. He has endorsement of the president. He was roundly booed when he said it's time to move on. Because you know what? The America First crowd, the deplorables, were not easily fooled, right? And by the way, the deplorables also booed Donald Trump when he mentioned the vaccine. So this is a discriminating crowd, is my point. These aren't a bunch of sycophants, right, who just cheer anything they hear. No, this is a discerning, intelligent, and really highly issues-educated crowd. And they said, no, wait, we can't move on because here's the thing. We can't trust 2022 or 2024 unless we address the issues of 2020. Now, I believe in the coming weeks, and it's taken longer than we like, of course, you know, we're all frustrated by that, but I do believe we're going to get bombshell news out of Maricopa County in Arizona. I think that's going to be a game changer once we get the full report. There are good signs in Pennsylvania right now about a similar Maricopa-style forensic audit in Pennsylvania. We need that in Georgia. Frankly, I think we need it everywhere in America. I think even places where Trump easily won, like Alabama, to me, it makes a lot of sense to do it there, not because it's going to change the results, but because as a matter of good best practices, right, for our elections, we need to know that only legal votes are counting. And I don't think that's the case right now in much of it. Again, not just my opinion, 42% of independents, according to Economist YouGov, I can't emphasize this enough, you know, not a majority, but a super minority, okay, of independents do not believe Joe Biden won legitimately. That's earth-shattering. We've never had that kind of situation in America before. It's something we should never have again. And one way to get there is to do serious forensic audits, Arizona style, I think of every state of America in America, but particularly the battleground state.
All right, Steve, we got to wrap it up there. Always appreciate your good word. And tonight, what's coming up on the show?
Yeah, listen, we're going to have a great show. We're going to talk about the medical apartheid, which is unfortunately unfolding in our country, where people who have chosen for very valid reasons to not get vaccinated, perhaps they've already had COVID, perhaps they have other objections, where they are being set apart and they are literally being discriminated against in America. We're going to open with that. Please join us at 9 p.m. East.
All right, good stuff. Steve Cortez, Cortez Pellegrino on Newsmax TV later tonight. Of course, we are big fans here on this radio show. Thanks a lot, Steve. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Got to tell you about Mike Lindell, folks. He's always lavishing stuff on the great listeners of this radio program, including his wonderful Giza Dream bed sheets. I have them. They are absolutely wonderful, made with the world's best cotton called Giza. And those sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Folks, it is going to revolutionize the way you sleep. Trust me, I know it sounds outrageous, but it is true. You're going to love these sheets. And by the way, Mike has an incredible deal just for our listeners. You're going to get 50% off the Giza Dream sheets. You're also going to get those sheets for as low as $49.99. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listers Square, use the promo code STARNS. Mike is also going to offer you some incredible discounts, deep discounts, on all of his MyPillow products, including the mattress topper and the MyPillow towel sets. Folks, they all make incredible and just incredible Christmas presents. Go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code STARNS. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Get a job. Come on. You know, I was reading a note during the commercial break, and you've got some of these millennial types out there whining about not having enough money. Well, get a job. Stop relying on the government for a handout. Don't be a lazy bum. Come on. And if you're a man, be a man, for crying out loud. I mean, goodness gracious. Unbelievable. By the way, speaking of men, the State Department's very concerned. And Grace, I know you are a student of world affairs.
Oh, my.
Are you not?
I guess.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, you're about to be.
Okay,
so let me ask you this. I'm just going to throw this out there, and I'm going to ask if you're surprised by this statement or not, all right?
Cool.
All right, here we go. So the Taliban just announced their 33-member cabinet. It is all male. No women, no gays.
Can't you see the shock on my face right
I can
now?
Tell you're just horrified.
I mean, my gosh. No, come on, duh.
So the State Department is shocked.
After they asked them to be inclusive?
Yes, yes.
They ignored it?
Yes.
What?
Who knew?
They even said please, pretty please, with a cherry on top.
The Taliban would not live up to their word.
I thought the Taliban were reasonable.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I thought they were wanting to be a legitimate world power now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How dare they not be diverse?
No, yeah, that's not real big on the that's
the
not real big on the
stuff,
agenda.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, the Equality Act probably not going to happen in Afghanistan.
I don't think so.
So the State Department, this is from thehill.com. The State Department expressed concerns over the makeup of the new government. And by makeup, they're not, you know, no, it's not that kind
of makeup.
Oh,
there's no
makeup. There's no makeup.
If any of the guys showed up with any eyeliner, they would be thrown out promptly.
No, as a matter of fact, some women did show up to protest, and they took out literal whips.
Oh, my gosh.
And they beat the living daylights out of the women and told them to go back home and make a sandwich. This is all mm-hmm. on Joe Biden.
Thanks, Biden.
This is all on the Biden administration.
Yep.
It is absolutely horrifying. And as we have said on this radio program for many, many weeks now, if you are a female, if you are LGBTQI or A, you need to get the heck out of that country because they're about to rain down fire on you. And for the State Department to put out a statement like this saying that, well, we had no idea. They promised us. You know, this is what happens when you put academics in charge. People who have absolutely done nothing except read a book. This is what happens. And there's no one to blame but Joe Biden and the administration. That's all. That's all. By the way, Breitbart has an interesting story up. Top Democrat pollsters and strategists are beginning to realize the Biden administration is failing on nearly every challenge before the nation. And they go down the list, increasing wages, border security, the China virus, Afghanistan. There is no good news here. This is according to pollster Paul Maslin. And by the way, this guy worked with Jimmy Carter and Howard Dean. So if this guy says it's bad, you better believe it's bad. This is all on Biden's watch. You can argue what he's doing or not doing, but it's almost irrelevant. If things are chaotic and wrong, it ain't going to help him. Another Democratic strategist also told the outlet Biden was supposed to be a return to normalcy. Instead, the world is chaotic under Biden. I want you to go back and think, and I know it's a bit in history, but just think 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Donald Trump in charge, and there was peace. There was peace, not chaos. Let's go to Keith in North Carolina on the Talk Station. Hey, Keith, what's on your mind?
Todd, how are you? Thank you for taking the call. It's actually quite simple. You know, the Biden administration is wanting to recognize the Taliban and give them a bunch of money. What better way to do that than to create a bunch of hostages? And now they can say, well, what did you want me to do? I had to give them the money. I had to do that to get your Americans back, get your families back.
Keith, that is a brilliant point, and you're right. That is exactly how this is going to play out. And that's going to happen very soon. If it hasn't already, well, we know it's already happened. That's why they're not letting those airplanes take off. There's a reason. The Taliban, they want something, and they know that Biden is going to give it to them. Keith, God bless you, brother. Thanks for listening to us on The Talk Station. Hey, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Gotta love that song.
And the sunlight hurts my eyes.
You gotta love our playlist today. We're going back into the oldies. So. Good stuff. Hold on. My favorite part's coming up.
Heavy on my mind.
Grace, have you ever heard this song before?
Who hasn't heard this song?
Oh, this is a great song.
It's a wonderful song.
You know what's coming. This is the best part. Now, you got
it. Just one look.
All right, let's listen. Here we come now. You know America's going to sing along. Here we go. Come on, Grace.
A lovely day.
Lovely day. Lovely day. Lovely day. Come on, Grace. You can sing.
Lovely day. That's
good. You know, all of Salem, Oregon and Hendersonville, North Carolina are singing along right now. They've stopped whatever they're doing in the streets.
You've got to just stop and dance to
it. You've got to. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You know what we ought to do is have like just maybe a Friday dance segment on the show where people can call in and Grace, they can tell you, Grace, I'm dancing in, I don't know, Gainesville, Georgia or Richmond, Virginia on Al Sharpton Boulevard. I mean, maybe we could start something here in Talk Radio Land. Who knows?
It's an idea.
It is.
It sounds more fun than yelling at people.
Yeah, more or less. I'd rather sing than yell. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Good to have you with us today. There is an interesting story in the Wall Street Journal caught my attention, and the headline is a little disturbing. A generation of American men give up on college. And the number of men enrolled at 2- and 4-year colleges has fallen behind women by record levels. At the close of the 2021 academic year, women made up nearly 60% of college students, men 40%. What's going on? Well, to help us figure all of this out is the Senior Fellow for Education Studies at the Family Research Council, our good friend Meg Kilgannon, who is also, I guess, I'm going to just guess you're a Bill Withers fan, too.
Absolutely. It's always a lovely day to hear Bill Withers.
Oh, very nice. Very clever, Meg. hey, look, it's great to have you with us. Am I right to be alarmed at this report in the Wall Street Journal?
Well, it is concerning, but I think that that maybe there's a little ray of sunshine in this report. I mean, I think education has slowly become more and more hostile to boys. We literally drugged a generation of boys and diagnosed them with ADHD because they didn't adapt well to school environments that are designed mainly by women for girls. And so it's not really surprising that they are not flourishing in that environment. So if men are resisting woke culture and if they don't like to take on debt, that especially debt they're unsure they can repay, and maybe they're able to see the uselessness of a gender studies degree and other ridiculous majors, maybe this is all really a very good sign.
You know,
anybody who doesn't sign up to be indoctrinated and pay for the privilege, I think, is pretty rational.
No, I'm with you there. And look, I think, and we're a big proponent of the trades and going to trade schools. And I think a lot of guys, especially during the Obama years, were almost shamed into going to, say, a public university or a college, as opposed to wanting to be a mechanic or a construction worker, as if there was something wrong with those kinds of jobs. And I think Donald Trump really undid a lot of that damage. But there was an interesting note here in this story from the Pell Institute, where they specifically, and to your point, Meg, they're saying that it's mostly white men. White men are no longer going to college in the numbers they used to go to college. And to your point, why would they want to when they're, you know, being told in these classrooms that they're the responsible for all the problems of the world?
Exactly. This is the issue that I think is being laid bare by these statistics. And it's a point that I think may be lost on some of the folks who are concerned about the problem. I mean, they seem to think that, that there's a problem with the boys, that they're not going to college. But the problem isn't with the boys and the young men. The problem is with the system itself. It's catering to more and more to these identity groups and less to the human person. So the people who are most left out of the identity group race are the white men who supposedly have you know, won it. And the thinking goes, you know, well, white men have always gone to college, so now it's time for other people to go. Or you can fill in the blank with whatever sort of silly little anecdote you like. But the fact is that white men are singled out as never needing additional help and never needing to be identified as a group. And the very frightening thing to me is that by saying that about white men, you can force them to think wrongly that they do need to be in a group for white men, and that's going in a really dangerous direction.
You know, and what I find fascinating towards the end of this article at the Wall Street Journal, written by Douglas Belkin, by the way, that they talk about, okay, well, how do we fix this problem? And the basic gist of the solution is don't fix the problem. One person, and as a matter of fact, there are a couple of colleges that have tried to create college centers for men to help them with their studies, and they've been there's been a lot of pushback. And one of the quotes, why would you give more resources to the most privileged group on campus? So, again, this points to the entire purpose of the story, which is they're just not wanted. And why would a guy want to go to a place for 4 years where he is not wanted? He is despised.
Right. I think it's a very typical male reaction to not go, right? To say, okay, you don't want me there. I'm going to go somewhere else. It's always been interesting to me that when you listen to the stories of people who have, been great successes in one generation, let's say, and if they have a college degree in that story, it's one that they've earned as they are working in addition to going to school. A lot of times these very successful men or women have gone to school after they've started a family and been working in a job. They've gone to school, as an additional activity.
It's a fascinating. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The way colleges are structured these days and the prices that they charge make that really impossible. And so the taking on of the tremendous amount of debt with a very bleak job market now, especially in this economy, it's probably a good decision not to go to college right away.
Well, there you go. Or go to a school where you're, men are respected, where everybody's respected, like, Liberty University, Truett McConnell University. So great schools that
sure.
We support. So, all right. Meg, real quick, before we let you go, I'm curious because you are the senior fellow for education studies. We have been seeing some reports about the explosion of homeschooling in America. Are you guys following those stories there at FRC?
We are. It's very, very exciting. We just did a, we've just done a blog post about what to do if you're thinking about homeschooling, and we've been trying to point folks into in the direction for help if they need it in getting started homeschooling. The homeschooling numbers homeschooling has doubled in size in the last year, and I think it's a really wonderful development, because if your school wasn't open last year because of the pandemic, you weren't homeschooling, you were schooling at home, and that's very different from homeschooling. When you're the homeschooling parent, you are the person who's in charge of your day, and the schedule is set by you for your family to the benefit of your children.
And, so, and Meg, if people want to, because we're up against a hard break here, so if people do want to get information on how to homeschool, those first steps, where can they find that information?
You can go to frc.org and check the resources that are available at the website.
All right. Fantastic. Meg, got to leave it there. Thank you, as always, Meg Kilgannon from Family Research Council. Folks, we do need to take a break here, 901-260-5926. I am curious. I mean, are you seeing this in your family? Do you have a son who decided, you know what, I'm not going to college, I'd rather just get right into the job market? I know within our family, we've had some folks that said, you know what, college is not for me. And instead of having to work for the next 20 years to pay off student loans, they're already buying a house and making a go of it by being a mechanic. So they're, I mean, look, I see it both ways here, folks. But the reality is, and Meg pointed this out, these universities, they despise men. And specifically white men. And you can see that by all of the stories coming out from places like Young America's Foundation, from Campus Reform, from the College Fix. I mean, every single day. It's unbelievable. So I get it. I get it. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Let's get right to the phones, 901-260-5926. Nathan in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. Hey, Nathan, what's going on? What's on your mind today?
I just think that you overlooked a little bit on the trades. The trades are evolving. They're a lot more technology-based, and I don't think that there's really any barriers to any demographic. I think that I agree with you that the learning in a lot of the colleges is actually not slated to the needs of everybody, and it's actually a little more narrow than it needs to be sometimes. But I think that when it comes to the trades, a lot of people have opportunities. They just kind of have to shift their thinking a little bit. And I'm saying that coming from a teaching standpoint.
No,
I am a teacher.
So what do you teach, Nathan?
I teach computer science.
Let me tell you something. I bought a brand new car. You know, after I moved out of New York City, I realized, holy crap, I got to buy a car now. So I called up our friends at DUN, and I said, who advertises on the radio station? And they told me, and I went to Hayes Chevrolet and Cadillac and got myself a brand new Cadillac. Nathan, it's all computerized. To your point, the technology involved nowadays is just unbelievable. It's not like you can go out there and fool, you know, just mess around with your car. You've got to take it to the experts down at the garage.
Well, but the other thing about the mechanics and actually the trades is there's other opportunities that aren't college. Like, there are a lot of companies that have sprung up in the last 8 years that you take a 16, 18-week course. And because you're going to be making six figures after that, you know, 6 months,
big money.
They don't actually expect anything until you get your first job.
Well, look, I think that's a brilliant thing,
and that's everybody. That's not one demographic versus another. That's everything. Like, a lot of these companies, some of them were from Silicon Valley, some of them were from like all over the place. Here in Atlanta, there's probably about 10 of them, and they don't pay you
until you actually finish the course.
Interesting.
So, excuse me. They don't expect payment. So, like, you get your first course as a full stack developer, and it'll be, let's say, you start at 90 grand. You, after you get that contract or that job, that's when you pay the company to train you. And there's no barrier to entry for that. And when I say that, I mean it's open to everybody, not just one, you know, specific group or one affinity group.
And Nathan, when you think about this, some of those jobs, like you just said, I mean, you could be 22, 23 years old and already bringing in a six-figure salary with some of these jobs.
Well, at the school that I currently teach at, we've just rolled out a program that our graduates are going to actually have a first-level cybersecurity certification as graduates at, you know, 17, 18 years old. And 5 years ago, nobody was looking at that. That was like, you know, they were all at least 20 or 22, and they'd been out, you know, out in the workforce maybe a year or so.
Is that right now? And do you want to give your school a shout-out here, Nathan?
It's actually Riverside Military Academy.
That's a fine school, Riverside Military Academy. I've heard of that school. I know about that school. Good stuff. Nathan, hey, thanks for the info, and give us a call back one of these days. We appreciate the great work you guys are doing down there. Let's go to Mike in Morehead City, North Carolina, listening to us on the talk station. Mike, what's going on? Hello, Mike.
Hey, Todd. I'm a high school student here in Morehead City. I'd rather not say which high school. But I was listening to the show, and I really agree with a lot of things you were saying. I mean, I don't want to go to a 4-year college, just based off of how woke my teachers have been. I mean, you wouldn't believe what one of them said to me the other day.
Well, I'm just curious here, Mike. So you don't want to go to college. What would you like to do? Okay, I think we lost Mike there. So thanks. We must have had a bad phone connection. My apologies, but that happens. But, you know, it's a fair point that I want to go back to what Nathan had to say, is that, you know, it's there's more involved in the trades than you might imagine. And some of the job opportunities are pretty significant. And the idea that, you know, you could be 21, 22 years old, and you could already be hauling in $50,000, $70,000 a year. Meanwhile, you've got these kids getting the knitting degree at the local college, the liberal arts college, and they're going to be paying for that knitting degree for the rest of their lives. Unbelievable. Hey, you know what? I want to talk about Blue's Clues. We're going to have to save this story for the next next segment. But Grace, I understand this is like a big deal with your generation.
I mean, yeah, I kind of grew up with Blue's Clues. Not going to lie.
So, is this the one that had the was this the Pride Parade? Is this the one?
Very unfortunately, so yes. But this was before it was woke. I liked it, but now I've just gone totally off the rock. Oh,
this is it.
Oh, no, I haven't.
The big parade.
Come on, friends.
Jazz hands.
Families marching 3x3. Hurrah.
This is not what I grew up with.
Families marching.
I want to be a star on Broadway. Or Nickelodeon.
So proudly, and they all go marching in.
Sing along, children.
Families marching 4x4.
Okay, hurrah. That's enough.
It used to be, you know, you got mail. That was like the song,
yes.
You got mail. Blues, yes. Clues, you know, actually searching for clues, but now it's all that.
But the old school guy, what was his name? Steve?
Yeah, Steve.
Carl? Steve. It was Steve.
Yeah, it was Steve.
Okay, Steve. And he had the green striped shirt. Is
yes.
that the guy?
Correct.
Okay, so he's back in the news. Everybody
yes.
thought he died or something.
There was a rumor going around the guy died like a few years ago. And if you Google him, it's like that's one of the first things that comes up. People thought he died and he had to come out and be like, no, guys, I'm still alive.
So I guess he's a millennial.
Yes.
So he's going through some things. And he wants to take the rest of the millennial generation along with him on his journey of self-discovery.
So. Yeah.
So we're going to get into that in the next segment. I'm going to need your help, Grace, because I don't know anything about Blue's Clues.
It's okay.
All right. We'll figure this out together. Folks, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. ToddStarnes.com is the website. Jazz hands, America. Jazz hands. You look fabulous. Fabulous, America.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So do you guys remember the glory days of Afghanistan? You remember this when the Islamic radicals, when the Taliban swept back into the country, and CNN, the most profane name in news, was out there in front of God and country and their 32 viewers, and they pronounced and declared that the folks chanting in the streets, death to America, that was really a way of just saying, howdy do.
They're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time. It's utterly bizarre.
Death to America. Here's a casserole. No, this is what CNN is. It's unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. But this is it's not just CNN that's doing this. Over the weekend, we got some information about a situation unfolding at the University of Kansas, where the student government leaders there, including the president of the student body at the University of Kansas, actually shared a message on Twitter and then defended the message. Death to America. Naya McAdoo is the student government president. And not only her, but the entire student senate put out this message. Happy Friday, everybody. Death to America. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're very honored to have with us Susan Humphreys, who is with the Kansas House of Representatives, and she chairs the higher education budget. Susan, good to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Todd. I'm happy to be with you.
So I want to get your reaction to what's going on here at the University of Kansas. I mean, this is some pretty atrocious language. And they're defending it. They're saying that they do not have a problem tweeting death to America.
Yes. So that was the official student president account. And isn't that just the most offensive, horribly offensive thing? Now, it's not the university, but it is the student government that's doing it. And you're right. They've doubled down on that message.
As a matter of fact, the University of Kansas provided a response to a columnist in the Kansas City newspaper. I want to read this to you. This is from the provost office. The opinions in these tweets are protected by the First Amendment. Thus, there is nothing in the post that would allow for action by the university. Susan, I would contend there's a lot they can do because, as you just said, these are official Twitter accounts of the Student Government Association.
Well, and I've actually dug into that just a little bit. And the fact is that because the president of the student body was elected by the student body, it's really the students that need to take action here. The student senate, any groups, and they can take action. But the university, because it was a student election, their hands are somewhat tied. I mean, I know that doesn't make sense. But, they can talk, they can do what they need to do. But the fact of the matter is, it's an entity that the students control. And there are a lot of students that are also upset, Todd. That's such a small percentage that would retweet those horrible things. And so I'm hoping that we see a response from the students. And the other thing is, if you don't mind if I just say, it's been shocking the lack of coverage in the local media here. We've not heard much about it except from you, which I so appreciate.
Well, we're glad to shine the light on this because this is just absolutely horrible. coming just a few days after the American service members were killed in Afghanistan, and just a few days before, we are all remembering what happened on September 11th, 2001. And I'm curious, you said that students are upset. What are you hearing from your fellow lawmakers?
The same. I mean, we've actually, some of the ones that I've spoken to, they weren't aware of it. We've tried to share it with each other. We've tried to let people know about it. So, but it was not covered. I mean, it wasn't in the local newspaper. And so it's been slow getting the story around.
Is there some recourse for state lawmakers to take? I mean, in many states, you guys hold the purse strings. Is there something you can do to threaten the university here?
Well, we do hold the purse strings, and it's the Board of Regents, which is controls, the universities, and our funds actually go to the Board of Regents, and they're dispersed from them. So I think speaking to the Board of Regents would be a really good idea, letting them know the displeasure, and, alums are upset. Anyone that hears about it is just shocked at how offensive that statement was. And, you know, the chancellor of the university is a veteran, and so and the university has a strong ROTC program. So it's very disheartening what's going on.
And what's really sad here is the sheer ignorance of the student body president. I do not know the young lady. I don't know her background, her upbringing. But the idea that she's wishing for the death of America, well, what does she understand what that means? That she lives in a country where she is afforded great opportunities and privilege. She was elected student government president of a great university. That would not happen in any other society. I mean, just take a look at what's happening in Afghanistan right now.
Exactly. And her First Amendment free speech rights come from our great country. And she's not realizing that, apparently, or not putting two and two together. And the fact that they kind of double down on it, and we didn't know exactly what her position is because, it was a retweet. And yes, as the university said, she does have First Amendment rights, but that's personally, but I think one of the things that was so offensive was that this was the official account, the Twitter account of the KU president, government president. So, yeah, it's really sad what's going on.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, State Representative Susan Humphreys from Kansas, the story out of the University of Kansas, the Student Government Association president, along with the entire Student Senate, sharing tweets saying death to America, and then in subsequent tweets defending what they did. Susan, again, Kansas is the heartland. You have such a rich and storied history. Some great men and great women have become American leaders in that state. What kind of a message does this send about education there in Kansas?
Well, sadly, I think it sends the wrong message because we do know that this election, when she was elected the student body president, it was a historically small percentage of students that voted because of COVID and what was going on, everything else on campus. It was a pretty tight race. And so what I want to say is I don't think she is representative of the students at KU and certainly not of the citizens of Kansas. And it's really unfortunate that this happened, but I don't think this is the end of the story, Todd. I pray that we see a bit of an uprising and we see students rising up to say this is unacceptable for our university. So I hope it's a learning experience, and I hope people take action about it.
I like that. And will you let us know what we can do here on this radio show? We've got a lot of listeners across the state, especially in Wichita, and we want to be of help to you guys.
Thank you. I think getting in touch with your state representatives is a good idea. Again, the Board of Regents, and really encouraging any students that you know that go to KU to have them speak out about it.
Well said.
And we appreciate in Wichita what you do, Todd.
Well, thank you so much, Susan. And we're going to leave it there. Susan Humphreys, ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot. She is a state representative and chair of the higher education budget there for the state. So, all right, folks, we will keep that story front and center, and you can actually read about this on our website, toddstearns.com. What a mess. And she's right. Aside from the Kansas City newspaper, nobody's talking about this story. But the key to resolving all of this is Representative Humphreys. She's the one that holds the purse strings. And what they ought to do, the state lawmakers ought to haul the university president, the chancellor, whoever's in charge, bring them to Topeka and have a come to Jesus meeting and say, you know what? If you're going to tolerate this nonsense, you're going to do it without the taxpayers' money. You're going to do it without the donor money. And all you donors out there to the University of Kansas, you need to call up and withhold your money and tell them why. That's how you get things done. That's how you make changes in the university system. Folks, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, now more than ever, it is so important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile, they not only share our beliefs, they're doing something about it. They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. Just the other day, President Trump called in on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We just had Susan Humphreys on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So I want to encourage you to do what I did and switch to Patriot Mobile right now. Use the promo code Todd, and you're going to get free activation and a free gift. If you're a veteran, if you're a first responder, you will save even more money. Switching is incredibly easy. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, let's go to the phones. Pat hanging out with us on WDUN, the beautiful state of Georgia, or Georgia. No, it's Georgia. Pat, what's going on?
I heard you talking about trade school and just wanted to shed a little light for some of the people that might be thinking about it. I went to trade school back in the 70s and did a full 2 years, took machine tool and die, wound up working for a great company. Also, had a great retirement. I am debt-free now. And in the last 10 years, with my benefit packages and my pay, I did make, you know, six figures. So just wanted to tell the people, you know, there is a trade school is a great opportunity, and it is a great alternative to going to college.
You know what, Pat? I mean, it really is. And I you know, the joke is on a lot of these academic eggheads. And don't get me, there's nothing wrong with going to college at all.
Oh, no.
The issue I've got is the people that are in college looking down on everybody else. And the reality is, Pat, somebody like yourself, you're going to live a great retirement life. You know, you're debt free. And a lot of these folks are going to be paying off their college loans for decades.
Yes, yes, I know a lot of them. My wife, she actually went to college, but she went during a time where they needed the teachers. So she went on the scholarship and wound up didn't have to pay a bit. Actually made a little money going to college.
Well, good for her, Pat. And you know, it's funny. I was years ago. I was driving to there's a little town in North Carolina called Murphy, North Carolina.
And yep, been there.
You've been there. So you probably passed by this place. You go up. It's kind of in the back roads to get there. But there was a guy that was advertising. He did your taxes, and he also did welding. So if you needed your taxes done or you needed something welded, he was your guy.
Oh, yeah.
A man of many talents, I reckon. So
enjoy your show, Todd. Keep it up. We need to hear what you got to say. and God bless America, the greatest country on the face of the earth.
Couldn't have said it better, Pat. God bless you, and hope to see you, Pat, and your wife, and lots of other folks around North Georgia coming up at Truett McConnell University, getting ready for our big faith and freedom celebration, raising lots of great money for a great school. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who is just tearing it up over in Arkansas right now, she's going to be the keynote speaker, and then we'll be doing a Q&A with her after her incredible remarks. All right. By the way, if you'd like more information, go to Truett McConnell University's website, truett.edu. All right. Let's talk about Blue's Clues. So this is apparently a big story. The guy's name, his name is Steve Burns, and he played a character named Steve.
Yes.
And so Blue's Clues, it's celebrating its 25th anniversary. And I guess the guy just up and quit and left, and nobody knew what happened.
So literally at one point in the show, he's just like, here's my younger brother, and I'm going off to college. And then boom, he was gone from the show, never seen again. There were rumors of his death that floated around for a while, years after he left the show. The guy didn't really appear in any more movies or anything, nothing major.
So he shows back up.
Yes.
Does he understand that everybody else has grown up, so they're probably not watching Blue's Clues?
That's the one thing I don't understand. Like, I'm like, who's watching Blue's Clues? Unless you have a kid and you're just sitting there with the kid.
So
that's what I'm thinking.
So the guy's 47 years old. He's a grown man.
Yes.
And he's still wearing the same outfit. It's very off-putting.
Some variety. Come on, Steve.
And just imagine, though, because Blue's Clues is for, like, what, like 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds?
3 to 5.
3 to 5,
year olds.
Okay.
Yeah,
imagine you're sitting at the, you're watching TV yesterday, and you're sitting there, I don't know, eating your Cheerios without milk, you know, in the bowl, and what, you know, having a juicy box.
The good old days.
And here comes Steve. They're like, who is this?
Exactly.
And he's clearly going through something. He's going through,
crisis.
All right, let's take a listen.
Hi. You got a second?
Okay.
Okay. You remember how when we were younger we used to run around and hang out with Blue and find clues and talk to Mr. Salt, freak out about the mail and
what?
Do all the fun
Mr.
stuff.
Salt?
And then one day I was like, oh, hey, guess what? Big news. I'm leaving. This is my brother Joe. He's your new best friend. And then I got on a bus and I left. And we didn't see each other for like a really long time. Can we just talk about that? Great. Because I realized that was kind of abrupt. I just kind of got up and went to college.
You left us!
And that was really challenging.
We
by
hate
the way,
you!
But great, because I got to use my mind and take a step at a time, and now I literally am doing many of the things that I wanted to do. And then look at you, and look at all you have done, and all you have accomplished in all that time. And it's just so amazing, right? I mean, we started out with clues, and now it's what?
Blues?
Student loans.
Oh.
And jobs.
It's called
and families.
Life, pal.
And
it's
some
called
of it
life.
Has been kind of hard. You know? I know you know. And I wanted to tell you that I really couldn't have done all of that without your help. And
you
in
too,
fact,
man.
All the help that you helped me with when we were younger is still helping me today, right now. And that's super cool. I guess I just wanted to say that after all these years, I never forgot you. Ever. And I'm super glad we're still friends. Thanks for listening. You look great, by the way.
Are you crying, Grace? Are you crying?
It's just allergies.
I
grew up with this, so I think it's pretty cute. But I'm like, you know, it's time to move on, buddy.
I don't know. So anyway, he went on to do music. He was with a group called Flaming Lips and Songs for Dust Mites. That's the guy. I think that was a cry for help. That's what I think that was. Blue's Clues. Jeez-a-loo. All right, 901-260-5926. What was that? We'll be right back. Where's Captain Kangaroo? right. So the State Department, which is run by certifiable morons, now coming out and acknowledging what we've been reporting for several days now, Antony Blinken, that's Antony without the H. And Antony Blinken says that the Taliban are not permitting charter flights to depart from the airports. And there's nothing they can do about it because they don't have any manpower on the ground, which is why we suggested that perhaps the better course of action would have been to evacuate people first and the military last. But this is what happens when you put academics in charge. By the way, the State Department also very upset because, according to them, there are no females in the all-male Taliban government. And they're very upset because they said there was supposed to be diversity, and they don't understand why the Taliban did not have a little bit of diversity. That being said, there could be some men in the Taliban government who maybe identify. I don't know, but we'll keep you updated on that. All right, folks, coming up Saturday, the 20th anniversary of the Muslim terrorist attacks on American soil, the greatest tragedy to befall our nation. Over 3,000 of our fellow countrymen died on that horrible, terrible day. And we have got to do a better job educating the next generation about what happened on that day. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're just always thrilled to have Kara Zupkas with us. She is the spokesperson for Young America's Foundation. And they really have taken up this cause every year. They promote and support a project called Never Forget Project 9/11. Kara, good to have you with us, and tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So ever since 2003, Young America's Foundation has hosted the 9/11 Never Forget Project, where we encourage students at high school and college campuses around the country to plant 2,977 flags on their campuses, one to commemorate each life lost on 9/11. And we've been doing this since 2003, and as the years have gone on, I mean, just the importance of it has been so emphasized. And a really mind-blowing fact, I think, this year that makes it super important is that freshmen and sophomores in college were not even alive on 9/11, just showing why it's so important that we never forget what happened on that day.
No, you're right. And it's, you know, again, grown-ups, it's easy to forget that fact that most of the young people alive, millennials, Generation Z, were either not born or a tiny children when the attacks happened. I'm curious, Kara, what are you hearing from students? I mean, what do they tell you guys about that day?
Well, a lot of them don't have that personal attachment, like you mentioned. They're always kind of hearing it from a secondhand perspective, whether it's video clips of the news broadcast or storytelling from their parents about where they were. But, of course, they necessarily weren't alive, or if they were alive, they were maybe 1 or 2 years old. So it's really important to educate them by showing them the horrible images of what happened, showing them who attacked us, why they attacked us, and again, kind of tying it to what's happening present day with Joe Biden in Afghanistan, enabling these Islamic terrorists to once again take over the world and potentially putting America at risk of another attack. That's something that we're definitely emphasizing to our students. And even though they weren't alive on 9/11, they understand the importance of educating their peers so that schools and public officials can't sanitize what happened on that day.
Well, you know, I remember covering that. I was a reporter, and I was up in New York. I was actually heading to Baylor University. I was supposed to be covering a speech being delivered by Janet Reno, who had been the former attorney general for Bill Clinton, and got rerouted. Of course, they shut down all the airplanes and ended up having to drive directly to New York City. And, you know, to this day, you remember everything about that moment. But, Kara, one of the things that really struck me was the media at the time made the decision just, I don't know, maybe a week or so after, to stop showing images of the planes flying into the buildings and the buildings collapsing because they did not want to cause anybody undue, you know, offense. And they especially didn't want to impact certain demographics of the country. And I think that was a mistake. I think we have to tell our history.
I completely agree with you. And I think the media and these government-run schools are really working hand-in-hand to kind of try to sanitize what happened. And we can't really depend on these public schools to carry on that memory of the lives lost because they don't want to show those images in fear of offending Muslim students. I think of most recently, I know this is something you and both Yap reported on, the Virginia Department of Education trying to sanitize what happened, saying, oh, it's harmful and damaging to talk about the deaths that happened on 9/11 because it might offend our Muslim students. It goes so much bigger than that. It is so important that we don't allow the left to change the narrative about what happened because it will allow it to happen again.
No, you're absolutely right. And really, and we didn't know it at the time, but that was the early stage of this cancel culture movement, this attempt to rewrite history and to rewrite the narrative of what happened on that day. I'm so glad, though, that you guys at Young America's Foundation are letting this next generation know and you're educating the next generation. Carol, where can people go if they want to get involved? Lend a helping hand.
Yeah, they can head to YAF.org for a complete list of all of the hundreds of schools that are signed up to participate in the project if they want to help set up a display on campus, as well as information about our DC display, which we will be hosting on the National Mall just steps from the U.S. Capitol. It's going to be a really dramatic backdrop. We will be planting 2,977 flags as well. So you can head to YAF.org for all of the information. Find out how you can help sponsor one of those displays.
Wonderful. All right, Kara, we're going to leave it there. Good luck this weekend. And I know it's going to make an incredible impact all over America. We appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thank you so much.
All right, Kara Zupkus, ladies and gentlemen, from Young America's Foundation. Now, Grace, back when you were a college student decades ago, okay, it was 2 years ago, a year ago?
Yeah, what are you saying?
It was a year ago. I don't know. It's a
couple
time
of years
flies.
Ago. Todd.
Time flies.
Not that old.
So you were president of your YAF chapter.
I was.
Did you guys do that? Did you put out the flags?
We did do that. And it was a pretty cool thing because I think the coolest part of it was, you know, we were all putting the flags down. And it was a lot of flags, which standing there in person and seeing it physically, how many flags were out was a very sombering thing. But also, people would come by and ask us, can I please plant a flag? And that was a really cool thing, a way for, you know, just students to get involved that we didn't even know.
You know, I really hope in Friday's show, we're going to be focusing on 9/11 20 years ago. And I really do want to hear stories of our listeners because everybody remembers exactly what they were doing when they got word that the towers,
yes,
that the towers have been hit. I mean, everybody. If you go and ask your parents, they'll be able to tell you, I was doing this. I was driving on Interstate 60. I was literally heading to the airport when the attacks happened.
Yep.
And I remember I was listening to the radio, and they broke in, immediately swerved off the interstate, tried to find a TV. Of course, we didn't have, you know, all the smartphones back then.
True.
We had something called a payphone. I'd say. No, we did have, and we had cell phones, but they
sure.
were, you know, they
not
were
the same.
Not the same thing. And I remember there was a YMCA, like a gymnasium. I pull in and I'm there, and people are literally gathered around the TV monitors.
That's crazy.
Watching, and then boom, the second tower hit.
Wow.
And the next day we were there at Ground Zero. And you know what was fascinating about that? We were with a group of FBI chaplains, and just everybody was. They had firefighters that were literally sleeping in the buildings that survived along the Hudson River, and they just had cots, and they would literally go in, you know, catch some Z's, and then go back out to the pile.
Wow!
And there was a phone bank. It was just, I don't know why I remember this, but AT&T had literally brought in a trailer, and the trailer was actually multiple phones, just boom, 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 like one right after the other. And they set them up, and so the firefighters could call home, you know, people, the rescue crews, because it was all, you know, just sort of zoned off, you know,
sure.
blocked off. And McDonald's actually had a food truck that they brought in, and they were just serving food just 24/7 there at Ground Zero. I'll share some more of those memories of that day. But it was, you know, you just don't forget. And we cannot let future generations forget what happened on that day. Can't do it. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Grace Baker, I've got to give our listeners an update on what I was doing yesterday after the show.
Oh, yeah.
Which I completely...
You left them hanging.
I almost left the folks at the Delta State Fair hanging because I forgot that I had a big event that I was supposed to be at immediately after the show yesterday. Of course, the Delta State Fair, state fairs and county fairs are happening all over America
right now. Yep, it's that time of year.
It is that time of year. And, of course, here in Memphis, we have a couple, and this one was the Delta State Fair.
Yes.
And they had the carnival rides and the fairway and the...
Yep.
The
funnel cakes.
Funnel cakes and... Oh, they had the, they call them Pronto Pups. We call them corn dogs.
Yes, Pronto Pups.
Corn dogs.
Yes, but they're better.
Oh, they're corn dogs.
First of all, the name's better. Second of all, coated in mustard, but I forgot you hate mustard.
But if you eat a, wait a second. If you eat a corn dog, you're eating a hot dog inside corn bread.
Yes, Pups are just better.
But a Pronto Pup, that implies you're eating,
It's the same thing. It's their brand name, but they taste better.
Anyway, I was a rather prestigious event. I was invited to judge the dessert competition at the Delta State Fair.
Ooh.
And we posted a lot of photos on the Instagram.
Yes, I saw.
Don't do that with your eyebrows again. That's frightening.
Well, I'm just raising them up and down.
Okay, again.
Just continue.
But you shimmied while you did it.
I know what you want. I just continue.
So anyway, I go down there. I'm not a big dessert person, but I don't like chocolate. Believe it or not, I'm not a big chocolate fan.
That's just blasphemy, but continue.
And so, sure enough, it was like a dozen desserts, and they were very good. My favorite was the pecan pie. They had a pecan pie with homemade whipped cream.
Ooh, homemade whipped cream.
And they beat that cream good because it was, they called it stout cream.
Ooh.
It was delicious.
Extra strong.
They also had something. Now, I have a family member who makes this, my sweet Aunt Lynn. And if I recall correctly, she called this, it's called Better Than Sex. That's the name of the dessert.
Okay.
She was a Methodist. It's
not like the mascara.
No, it's kind of a whipped, Mississippi mud pie, I guess.
Okay,
I've heard of that. It's sort of a fluffy kind of a combo of, whipped cream and kind of a, milk chocolate jelly, kind of a pudding kind of a thing. And it's all whipped together and it's delicious. That was delicious. And then they had a couple of others that were okay. They had a banana pudding, which was very good.
Ooh.
But, so that was a lot of fun, and we got to meet a lot of people and eat. So that's the thing is you're supposed to take a sliver of each, right?
Sure.
The ladies were like big fans who were serving, so they have two people they're cutting, and they're like cutting me slabs. And I'm like, you're going to kill me. I'm going to go into a diabetic coma before we get to the banana pudding.
And you've got to, you got to pace yourself because you got a lot of desserts to try.
I was all about, the pecan pie was first, and that was my favorite. They were a little heavy on the vanilla, but otherwise it was very good. It was between the pecan pie and this cake, which was like, it was a Butterfinger cake.
Ooh.
So they took the Butterfinger candy bars and they used that in between. It was very
I'm not a big
rich.
Butterfinger person.
No, that didn't do it for me.
But the pecan I know people pie, who are.
But pecan pie won.
Yeah. You picked the winner.
I picked the winner. Well, sort of. And so then I committed a big faux pas.
Oh, no.
So we had, while we were judging, right behind us, they were judging the macaroni and cheese category.
Ooh, that's my kind
and
of
And then they had like a casserole category and the chili category.
Okay.
And so the way this goes, they do a best of show. And I'm not sure how this works out, but they have like different best of shows. And it seems to me the dessert should have been a separate category. But the desserts were competing with macaroni and cheese for the best of show.
How do you compare that?
I don't know.
That's tough.
So anyway, here's how it works. So we picked our winner, the dessert judges, the three of us, we picked our winner. And then the mac and cheese gals had to pick their winner. And then we each had to go to the, so we swapped sides, and then we had to sample the winning dish.
Okay.
So they tasted the pecan pie, and we tasted the mac and cheese. Grace, I'm telling you, it was a homemade mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And they had shrimp in the mac and cheese. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No, but I love shrimp. Shrimp and grits. Mm.
So it was like, it tasted like shrimp scampi.
That sounds fantastic.
And they gave you the little cups. You know, like when you go to Wendy's back in the day, they would give you a ketchup cup.
Yes.
You know? So they gave us one of those cups. And I'm like, you know, I just don't know if I got a good enough taste.
Yeah.
Can I have some more? And it was like, oh, of course. And so she's putting more in there. And I'm like, what was that? I'm trying to figure out what that taste is. Can I get some more? She called on about five times in. I'm like, holy cow, this is good. So anyway, we voted at that point. So now all six judges have to come together. And we had to decide, okay, who is the best of show?
That's tough.
And it was tough because, again, it's sort of like dessert.
Yes.
Macaroni and cheese.
Sure.
I mean,
how do you compare the two?
You can't compare it.
My God.
It was impossible.
But I got to ask about something, Todd. I saw this on your Instagram. What's
oh,
up
dear.
With the cow cake?
That was not a cow cake.
But it had spots.
It's a pig.
Oh.
It had a pig snout. Everybody's
okay.
saying it's a cow cake.
It had black spots.
Yeah. So what they do is the previous day, the winners, they put the cakes, the winning okay. cakes, desserts, into the cases, and so people can come by and stare at them.
Uh-oh, but not taste them. That's
cannot
cool.
taste them. A little weird, but it was, you know, you don't, there were slivers missing, too. That was the interesting
no.
thing.
It's part of the pig was missing.
Part of the, I think the tail section.
Oof.
If I'm remembering correctly. So anyway, so we had to vote, and I voted against my team. I voted for the mac and cheese.
What?
I thought the mac and cheese was better than the pecan pie.
Well, you had enough of it to know, didn't you?
I felt bad. I did. I mean, but the pie was delicious, but man, that mac and I'm like, can I get the recipe for this?
Man, Dom, why do we end up talking about food all the time? And
I'm
now,
just telling
at least
you.
It's like at the end of the show and I can go eat after.
So
this.
We had a great time, but Grace, I was kind of wandering around. And seeing some of the other prize winners, and so they have like an arts and crafts and hobbies and collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
First prize, somebody made a pantsuit out of Walmart shopping bags.
No, they didn't.
I've got the photograph to prove it.
Like the duct tape prom dresses.
Got the photograph. You got to go to the Instagram, Todd Starnes FNC. I'm blue checkmark. So.
Cue the Tim Hawkins
anyway,
Walmart
thank
bags.
You. It was a lot of fun. Thanks to the folks at the Delta State Fair. And folks, we're going to be out on the road. We'll be telling you more about those adventures coming up. We've got a big show tomorrow. You're going to want to stick around for that. And I got to go work off some of the mac and cheese and the pecan pie. All right, have a great one, America.